continue in our series of tales of the Baal Shem Tov. The following tale was recorded by the Tzaddik Lubavitcher Rebbe, the previous Rebbe of blessed memory. The Baal Shem Tov showed great affection to the simple folk, those who would be God-fearing individuals with a simplicity, and their actions would be with wholeheartedness. There was once a man whose name was Moshe Shlomo, a simple individual who was about 28 years old, a merchant who would travel to the various villages. He was a mekusher, he was a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov, listening to whatever the Baal Shem Tov would tell him to do and fulfilling his words with great joy. Rav Moshe Shlomo made quite a comfortable living and would give tzedakah with a very, very broad hand, very generously, and give to the Baal Shem Tov large amounts for sustaining the hidden tzaddikim, who the Baal Shem Tov would take care of, and also for redeeming the captives. The Baal Shem Tov was occupied in redeeming those Jews who would live in villages or at intersecting highways who owed money to the landowners and they were unable to pay and they would be thrown into dungeons. The Baal Shem Tov would seek to redeem these families. Baal Shem Tov blessed Rav Moshe Shlomo, and the Baal Shem Tov's blessings were fulfilled in entirety, and he became a very, very wealthy individual. The wealthier Moshe Shlomo became, the more tzedakah he would give to the Baal Shem Tov for the various tzedakahs of the Baal Shem Tov. 25 years after the wedding of the Moshe Shlomo, he still did not have any children. And every time that the Moshe Shlomo would ask the Baal Shem Tov that he beseech God's mercy for on his behalf and his wife's behalf, that they be blessed with children, the Baal Shem Tov would only bless him with wealth and success and never would respond to his blessing about children. The Moshe Shlomo was beloved by the entire Holy Assembly, the whole Chavarayi Kadisha, the disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, for he was truly a God-fearing individual, somebody who conducted his business in complete honesty, and many, many were the families who derived their sustenance from Rav Moshe Shlomo. He was an individual, moreover, who received everybody with a cheerful countenance. His wife as well was a God-fearing woman, on her own would give tzedakah, would have many, many guests in her house. She was known for her hospitality and her good heart. The men of the tzaddikim of the Great Assembly took pity upon Rav Moshe Shlomo and his wife, and they too beseeched God's mercy for Rav Moshe Shlomo and his wife before the Baal Shem Tov, asking the Baal Shem Tov that he bless them with good children. And so went another 10 years, and unfortunately Rav Moshe Shlomo and his wife were yet to be blessed with children. And all the petitions and the supplications of the Chavarayi Kaddish of the Holy Assembly from the Baal Shem Tov, that he bless Rav Moshe Shlomo and his wife with children, the Baal Shem Tov would never respond. And so understandably, after 35 years of marriage without children, Rav Moshe Shlomo and his wife, Rivka was her name, were very, very, very sad. One summer day, the Baal Shem Tov called for Rav Moshe Shlomo and his wife, and he said to them, "Why are you so sad? Why are you so crestfallen? God has blessed you with great wealth, with good hearts, and you perform acts of tzedakah in a wonderful manner and with a wonderful demeanor." "But," said Rav Moshe Shlomo and Rivka, his wife, together and as one, "but we have no children." And they burst out in tears from the depths of their heart. And the Baal Shem Tov said to them, "But what? So you don't have kids?" And Rabbi Moshe Shloim and his wife said, what do you mean we don't have kids? Why all this great wealth which God has given us if we do not have a child, a son or a daughter, and no memory, nothing will remain of ourselves after 120 years? Baal Shem Tov said to them that tomorrow he would go with them, with some of his disciples, to a certain city, and they should prepare themselves to go with him on this journey. On the morrow, the Baal Shem Tov chose 10 of his disciples from the Chevraya Kadisha, and Rav Moshe Shloim, the wealthy Rav Moshe Shloim, provided wagons for all of them, as well as for his wife, and they traveled. The Baal Shem Tov sat in his private wagon, and he went first, while all the other wagons followed after him. The journey took 5 days. They would sleep over at nights in various places along the route. And one of the days was also Shabbos, where they did not travel, of course, but they stayed over in one of the villages. And wherever they would pass by in any of the villages where there were poor people or institutions of tzedakah, the Moshe Shloim and his wife, as was their custom, would distribute money with a broad and open hand. On the sixth day of their journey, which was a Monday, they came to a certain city, which was close to the city of Brody, and the wagon in which the Baal Shem Tov was sitting remained standing by one of the houses, after which all the other wagons pulled up and they remained in place. The Baal Shem Tov descended from the wagon and entered the house, and understandably, the disciples, and Rabbi Moshe Shloim and his wife, also followed the Baal Shem Tov into the house. And so you had 13 people now entering this home. The Baal Habayis, the householder, happily accepted the people who came to his house into one of his large rooms, and the Baal Shem Tov, he had enter a special private room for the use of the Baal Shem Tov. After the people had rested a bit from the toils of the road, the Baal Shem Tov said to those who accompanied him, come, let's tour the city and see what we will see in the city. When the Baal Shem Tov, his disciples, and Rav Moshe Shloim and his wife left the house and started going through the streets of the city, they beheld a bunch of children playing in the sand. The Baal Shem Tov went over to the children, and he asked one of them, tell me, what is your name? And the child said, my name is Baruch Moshe. And you, what's your name? He asked, turning to a second child. My name is Baruch Moshe, said the second child. He asked the third child, what is your name? And the child said as well, my name is Baruch Moshe. He asked the fourth child, your name? Child answered, Baruch Moshe. A fifth child, my name is Baruch Moshe, said the child. He asked the sixth child, what is your name? And the child said, my name is Baruch Eliyahu. There was a girl there among the playing, and she said, before she was even asked, my name is Brochalea. The disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, and Moshe Shloim and his wife, were wondering how you had six boys, and all of them are called Baruch Moshe, and one of them was called Baruch Elio. But nobody had the temerity to ask the Baal Shem Tov what is happening here. A slight smile passed the lips of the Baal Shem Tov, and his holy face was illuminated. Baal Shem Tov went further, and his holy disciples, Rav Moshe Shloim and his wife, were following. As they were going, the Baal Shem Tov meets a girl, and he says, "What's your name?" And she says, "My name is Bracha Leah." And coming to one of the streets, they saw a bunch of girls playing. The Baal Shem Tov goes over to the group of girls, and after him, those who his Talmidim and the husband and wife as well. And the Baal Shem Tov asks one of the girls, "What's your name?" She says, "My name is Bracha Leah." He asks the second one, "And what is your name?" "My name is Bracha Leah." He asks the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth, "What is your name?" And they all answered, one after the other, that their names are Bracha Leah. The Baal Shem Tov went further, with the Talmidim and Moshe Shlomo and his wife Rivka following. Baal Shem Tov meets a boy and says, "What's your name?" He answers, "Baruch Moshe." He meets another girl, "What's your name?" She says, "My name is Bracha Miriam." As they were going, they hear the sounds of the children learning in the cheder. Baal Shem Tov went into the house where the children were learning, while those who followed him remained outside. It was a small room, and the Melamed, the children's teacher, blessed the holy Baal Shem Tov with Aleichem Shalom, and the Baal Shem Tov blessed the Melamed with the blessing of Shalom Aleichem. The Baal Shem Tov called in Moshe Shlomo and his wife into the room, and when they entered the room, the Baal Shem Tov asked the 20 children in the room what were their names. 6 of them answered one after the other that their names were Baruch Moshe. The others answered that their names were Baruch Avram, Moshe Yosef, Baruch Shmuel, Baruch David, Baruch Chaim, Baruch, Baruch Yitzchok, Baruch Shalom, Baruch Tovia, Moshe Yitzchok, Moshe, Moshe Zchaya, Moshe Yisrael, and Moshe Shlomo. The disciples of the Baal Shem Tov who were outside are talking among themselves, and they're wondering and they're astonished that most of the children are called either Baruch Moshe or Baruch and Moshe with other names, and most of the girls are called Bracha Leah or Bracha or Leah with some other names. And they said that surely in this city there must have lived a great tzaddik whose name was Baruch Moshe, and his wife was a great tzadkon. Her name was Bracha Leah. Therefore, the people are called in their names so that the merit of the holy names should come and befall the children for all good things. For these were surely great tzaddikim. The Baal Shem Tov asked the Melamed, "How many chadorim, how many such little schools are there in the city?" And he answered, "About 15. And he told them where they were. Baal Shem Tov and those who went with him and his retinue went to a number of other chadorim, and there too the Baal Shem Tov asked the names of the children, and there too as well the same response, Baruch Moshe or Baruch or Moshe with some other name. Also in the yeshiva where many of the children were learning from the city itself as well as from surrounding villages, the Baal Shem Tov went with his retinue. There too the Baal Shem Tov asked the names. Most of them answered Baruch Moshe or Baruch Moshe with some other name. Leaving the yeshiva, it became time for mincha, and so they went to one of the shuls to daven mincha. After mincha, the Baal Shem Tov asked one of the people there, "Why is it that so many children, both from the city as well as from the surrounding area, are called Baruch Moshe, and so many of the girls are called Bracha Leah?" And the man said, "About 100 years ago, there lived in this city a man whose name was Rabbi Isaac Shlomo. Rabbi Isaac Shlomo was a Torah scholar, a God-fearing individual, and he was a butcher who had made quite a good living, and he would give lots of tzedakah to the Rav and to the ascetics in this city who would sit a whole day and night and learn Torah and serve Hashem. Rabbi Isaac would give every Erev Shabbos and every Yontif meat for free without charging them at all. Many, many years Rabbi Isaac Shlomo and his wife did not have children. Only 15 years after they got married did they have a son, and they called the child by the name of Rabbi Isaac Shlomo's father with the name Baruch Moshe. Baruch Moshe grew up, went to cheder, but was not successful in his learning. When Rabbi Isaac Shlomo saw that Baruch Moshe, who's about in 1 year from now already going to become Bar Mitzvah, and he's not succeeding at all after all these years in the Cheder, so he took him to assist him in his butcher store, and after a year, Baruch Moshe became very good at the labor of being a butcher, and he conducted himself in a fine and upstanding manner, as Rabbi Isaac Shlomo, his father, taught him. Rabbi Isaac Shlomo began to occupy himself less with the business because Baruch Shlomo was doing a good job, and Rabbi Isaac Shlomo sat. Baruch Moshe was doing a good job, and Rabbi Isaac Shlomo was sitting and learning. So 10 years passed. Rabbi Isaac Shlomo is now about 23, 24, and Rabbi Isaac Shlomo saw that that Baruch Moshe did a shidduch with the daughter of Rabbi Yankov Parush, and the girl's name was Baruch Aleya, and Rabbi Isaac Shlomo and Baruch Aleya lived in Rabbi Isaac Shlomo's house. Rabbi Isaac Shlomo is sitting and learning Torah, and Baruch Moshe is busy with the butcher store, successful, giving lots of tzedakah, even more than his father did. Many years after the wedding of Rabbi Baruch Moshe, and Rabbi Isaac Shlomo had already passed away with a very good name, and after the passing of Baruch Moshe's father, his mother also passed away, and only Rabbi Baruch Moshe and his wife remained. For Rabbi Yankov Parush, the father of Rabbi Baruch Moshe's wife, and as well as the mother of Rabbi Baruch Moshe's wife, they too had already passed away. Rabbi Baruch Moshe strongly desired to learn Mishnayos in memory of his father and mother, and so he took Rabbi Shlomi Yitzchok, the Melamed, to teach him Mishnayos. But his great desire, notwithstanding, he still was not able to understand even the meaning of one Mishnah. Rabbi Shlomi Yitzchok, the Melamed, tells him once and again and tries to explain a Mishnah to him, and Baruch Moshe Nebuch doesn't understand. Once when Rabbi Baruch Moshe was sitting by the table of the shul hearing a goda of Rabbi Yitzchok Melamed, although in general he didn't understand what Rabbi Yitzchok would say, nevertheless he would sit and listen. And one thing he did pick up was that Rabbi Yitzchok said, quoted the saying of our sages, that Kol HaMelamed is ben chaveri toiro ki ilu yoldoi, that whoever teaches his friend's son toiro, it's as if he actually gave birth to him. These words entered the heart of Baruch Moshe and bothered him very much. And when he davened Ma'ariv, after hearing these words, he cried incessantly. Returning home from Ma'ariv, Rabbi Baruch Moshe went together with Rabbi Shlomi Yitzchok the Melamed, and as they were walking, Rabbi Baruch Moshe let out a very, very strong sigh. And Rabbi Shlomi Yitzchok asked him, "Why are you sighing so strongly?" Rabbi Shlomi Yitzchok knew that Rabbi Baruch Moshe and his wife, Baruch Aleya, are greatly pained that they didn't have any children. And so he said to him, "You and your wife are still young, and God can still bless you yet with sons and daughters." "Amen," Rabbi Baruch Moshe answered. "Today, between Mincha and Ma'ariv," he went on, "I heard that Rabbi Yitzchok was saying that whoever teaches the son of his friend Torah, it's as if he gave birth to him. And I," continued Rabbi Baruch Moshe, "not only am I suffering the pain that I don't have children, my wife doesn't have children, and we have nothing to leave over for, but I am a total amoritz, a total ignoramus. I do not know even to teach my friend's son Torah as well, so I don't have that option either." Rabbi Shlomi Yitzchok understood the mistake of Rabbi Baruch Moshe, and he said to him, "No, Rabbi Baruch Moshe, you're making a mistake. It doesn't mean that you yourself have to teach your friend's son Torah. But if you bring your friend's son to learn Torah, if you enable him, that's as if you gave birth to him. And if you can't teach him yourself, you can take a melamed for him. And it's as if you gave birth to him." This explanation of Rabbi Shlomi Yitzchok made Baruch Moshe tremendously happy. And coming home, Baruch Moshe told Baruch Aleia that which he heard from Rabbi Yitzchok about from the Holy Gemara, that he who teaches his son's friend's son Torah, it's as if he gave birth. And therefore, let's hire Malamdim to teach young children Torah, and these children will be as if we gave birth to them. Baruch Aleia was tremendously happy on hearing these words of Rabbi Baruch Moshe and his advice, and several days later, Rabbi Baruch Moshe hired the Malamed to learn with poor children who couldn't afford it on their own to learn Torah. So many years passed, and Rabbi Baruch Moshe became even wealthier because he began to deal with oxen. He was known far and wide in his business, and year to year he became wealthier. But nevertheless, Rabbi Baruch Moshe and Baruch Aleia still did not have children of their own. Notwithstanding their great wealth, Rabbi Baruch Moshe and his wife still lived in their small, modest house, as they did in the lifetime of Rabbi Isaac Shlomo, Rabbi Baruch Moshe's father. And with all their money, they would do tzedakah and gemilas chasodim, and the main thing, to see to it that children had the opportunity to learn Torah by melamdim. When Baruch Moshe and Baruch Aleia were about 60 years old, they had in the city and the surrounding areas more than 30 melamdim who were learning with children on their account. They would pay for the melamed. Once Baruch Aleia said to Baruch Moshe, "True, that whoever teaches his son Torah, it's as if he gave birth to him, but that is fine as long as we are alive. But what happens after we pass on? Who will remember us?" Well, when somebody has a son and daughter of flesh and blood, there's something that remains. Rabbi Baruch Moshe became angry. And this was the first time in his life that Rabbi Baruch Moshe became angry, because he was a Baal Midas Tevis. He was good-natured on a tremendous level. And he said to Baruch Aleia, "Baruch Aleia, what are you talking about? The Holy Gemara says that whoever teaches the son of his friend Torah, it says if he gave his birth. So we've got to believe with complete faith in the Holy Gemara that all the merits that parents have from their children, so these merits are totally true and apply to he who teaches the friend's son Torah as well. And we've been doing this." Most of the Jews who lived in that city and the surrounding area were disciples of the schools of Rabbi Baruch Moshe and his wife Baruch Aleia. "I and my brother," said the one person who was telling this story to the Baal Shem Tov, "learned as well in these Chadorim, and even the Rav is also a disciple from these Chadorim. It's 15 years already that Rabbi Baruch Moshe and his wife Baruch Aleia passed away at a ripe old age. They gave over all their wealth to the Rav and four scholars to divide in four parts. One part to their relatives, another part for the poor, another part to see to it that Malamdim should learn with the children, and one part for Gemilas Chasadim, for other acts of loving kindness. All those who learned in the Chadorim of Rabbi Baruch Moshe and Baruch Aleia called their children with the name Baruch Moshe, and their sons Baruch Moshe, and their daughters Baruch Aleia. And those who are already older tell their children, their sons and daughters, that they should call their sons and daughters with the name Baruch Moshe and Baruch Aleia, or utilizing one of these names. Every year, on the day of the yahrzeit of Baruch Moshe and his wife, Baruch Aleia, the Rav davens for the Omid, he leads the prayers, and we, all the Talmidim of Baruch Moshe and Baruch Aleia, go on their grave site as children go to parents. After Meiriv, when the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim and Rav Moshe Shlomo and his wife came to the place where they're staying, so the Baal Shem Tov said to Rav Moshe Shlomo and his wife, "This is what the verse says, V'nosati lohem bevesi. I will give him my house. This refers to Torah, which is God's house, ubechemosai, and my fortifications. This refers to the Jewish people, that they who are fortifications for God's holy name, I will provide for them Yad Vashem, a remembrance toiv mi bonim vibonis, better even than actual sons and daughters, Shem Olam Eten Loi, I shall give him an eternal name, Asher Loi Koreis, that will never be cut off. Rav Moshe Shleima and his wife, understanding what the Baal Shem Tov was telling them and seeing what had happened in this city, were very happy. They continued and even increased in their tzedakah and chesed, in their kindness and their goodness and their benevolence and charity, and they hired Malamdim to teach children God Hashem's Torah. They lived many long years with wealth and honor, passing on at a ripe old age and with a very good name, and many of their disciples called the names of their children Moshe Shloima, and the names of their sons Moshe Shloima, the names of their daughters Rivka, to eternally remember Moshe Shloima and Rivka and all the good deeds that they had done. They too finally had their children.